Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Sussex Cricket Museum. Once again, we're down in the George Cox Memorial Garden in Hove at the top end of the ground. It's very peaceful today. There's no cricket on. And the guest today is our youngest guest ever on the Sussex Cricket Museum podcast, Regina Sudhase-Khan, who is going to join us and talk about women's cricket in Sussex. So I'd just like to say hello to Regina.
Hello, thank you for having me.
That's a pleasure.
I'm very excited to be here.
That's great. Thank you very much, Regina. Now, just give us a bit of a background on how you got into cricket and where it all started for you.
So I am actually half Kashmiri, so cricket is kind of in my blood, as they say. My family's played cricket since I can remember. Being little, just going to cricket games, watching my uncles play and my dad play. When I was young, my father actually managed the USA cricket team, so we were involved quite a lot with youth soccer, especially in California. My dad just dragging me along to training, really, just to give me something to do. And cricket's kind of always been there, either watching it. I can't really remember life without kind of knowing what cricket was. And then when I was about six, my brother was really, really into cricket. He really wanted to play. So they actually put him into a cricket club to train. And of course, I couldn't be having my brother doing something I wasn't. So I said, I want to go too. And they took me as well. And I got to play with him at a club called Crawley Eagles in Crawley. And I loved it. I absolutely adored it. It was all softball. And I really liked throwing a ball and hitting it hard. It was really exciting to me. So yeah, kind of from there, cricket became kind of a staple in my life, kind of mostly as a hobby. And then by the age of about 10, 11, I realised that maybe I could play county cricket, so I got put forward for it, and I've been in the county system ever since. So it's kind of been consistent through that way, and I've found many avenues to do with cricket, and I wouldn't change it for anything else. Yeah.
Terrific. Now, you've got a very famous surname, haven't you?
Yes, Khan. Yeah. So Khan is a surname that was taken by my granddad, mostly when he immigrated from Kashmir to England. I mostly use Sudhase-Khan as it's a tribal name. It kind of states mostly our Sudhan tribe in Kashmir, originating our people back from Afghanistan when they travelled to Kashmir. But, you know, Sudhase-Khan, you know, I use it as a double barrel. I used to be Regina Khan, but I thought, oh no, I want to add a bit of flair to it. Have a name that people find harder to pronounce. So I added that one in. But yeah, funny enough, my dad's actually called Imran Khan. It's not the Imran Khan, but he's also Imran Khan himself. So when I was younger, I did used to tell people, oh yeah, my dad's Imran Khan. I got a lot of looks from teachers. They were like, oh really? I was like, yes. But yeah. There's been an Imran Khan here actually at Sussex, hasn't there?
That's right.
There we go.
Yes, that's lovely. So you started playing cricket at school or in clubs in Sussex?
It was mostly clubs. Funny enough, actually, I mean, I'm not that old, but when I was at school, cricket, again, wasn't for girls. We actually played rounders. I think cricket, we had one cricket tournament, and I was the only girl that played cricket at a club. I played like under nines at Crawley Eagles, and they wouldn't put me in the tournament, and I was so upset. They put another girl in the tournament who had no idea what cricket was. They put her in, and I was so upset. I begged for them to take me, and they did take me, and I actually ended up batting quite well. I was only like nine, but I just remember the look on the teacher's face, and he was like, oh, so you can play. And I was like, well, yes, of course I can play. And then as I grew up, again, hardball cricket obviously got more and more popular at schools, and girls still played rounders, boys playing cricket. And it wasn't until probably year five where I turned around to my school and I said, I really want to play cricket, just give me one match at least. Mm. And they said, okay, fine, we'll give you a chance in the under 11 Bs. I said okay, and I went in and I took three wickets in my first game, and I top scored with like 32, and the teacher said, oh wow, you really can play cricket. And I went, yes, I'm going for county trials this September. And he was like, well, how would you like to play cricket for the rest of the year with the boys? I said, yes please, I don't want to play rounders anymore. So from then on, I got to play cricket at school. they kind of carried on ever since. Every school that I went to, I said to them, I'm not playing rounders, I'll play cricket. And they said, okay, that's no worries, you can play cricket. And at one of my schools, I went to Copthorne Prep for a couple of years. I got to actually be the first girl to play cricket there, which is very historic. I had the most wonderful teacher, who was actually Chris Nash's uncle.
Right.
So he had a lot of connections with Sussex there, and he gave me the chance. He said, you can play as long as you make the team and if you're good enough. And I said, okay, fine. And I proved well. Mm-hmm. Ended up being like highest wicket taker for a season. Like I had the most wickets that anyone had ever taken at the school in the season. So yeah, I had to say it worked out pretty well. Yeah.
And from there, you went into the Sussex Pathway.
Yes.
and the various teams?
Yes, so I've been involved in the Sussex Pathway since under 11, and I have been in every single team till the women now. I got to make my women's debut last year, early on last year, and I wouldn't change it for the world. It's absolutely awesome. They took me in like their own. This year I thought, okay, I'll be in and out of the women's squad like I was last year. I was kind of in and out, and then I got a text message from Georgia Adams this year being like, we really really want you to be involved with the Sussex women this year. And oh my, when I tell you my jaw dropped, like, this is a dream I've had since I was 9. So getting a text message from Georgia Adams of all people as well, I was very starstruck. I got, you know, added, initiated into the group and everything. And yeah, I think I've played every single Sussex women's game this year, which has been awesome. I've gotten to play with the likes of Nancy Harmon and Nicole Faltram and be around like Lindsay Smith and Georgia Adams, and really getting to see the development of cricket as well. Right. I think from my age group, we have quite a lot of talented girls. And to be fair, probably from my age group, not a lot of girls carried on. So getting to kind of be part of those girls that did carry on, it's quite special. It's very cool to see the progression as well. Yeah.
And being part of that group, has that helped your cricket development, do you think?
100%. I think when we were younger, you know, I've been playing cricket with the likes of Freya Kemp and Mary Taylor and Millie Taylor, and we've played cricket since we were young together. So seeing them obviously succeed, I mean, Mary recently in the 100 and Freya obviously for England. It's been amazing to see them succeed, but I think it really gives you hope as well that, you know, you're also kind of on that path to kind of get there. It might happen a bit slower, but you're also there. And I think that's really pushed you, because, I mean, in the nicest way possible, it's like a, not a friendly competition, but, you know, you always see yourself and you're like, you know, I want to do what Mary's doing. I want to do what Freya's doing. I want to do what, you know, all these girls are doing. But seeing them go through it, you know, it really makes it more possible.
Right.
And, of course, there are people to talk to as well. So when you just have to send them a little quick message, you know, how's things going? And the friendships you build in cricket have really, really been strong, which I think motivates you to carry on playing a little bit more. So, yeah, it's been good. Again, my age group's very, very talented, so it's good to see quite a lot of us succeed, yeah.
And from Sussex, you've managed to play for, you're technically an international player, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain how that's come about?
Yes, so I'm actually an Italian. I hold an Italian passport. I've had that since I was an infant. But it's, you know, before Brexit as well, I didn't really need my Italian passport, but obviously it's become a lot more handy now, especially now as well in cricket. As I was younger, I've had this passport, and I was playing a cricket match for my club. I play for Roffey CC, and I was playing a men's match against Broadwater. And on the other team, there was a male who was playing for Italy cricket. And I didn't know Italy cricket really had a team. I was very surprised. So, you know, seeing he was wearing a shirt that had like Italy cricket on it, I was like, oh, I didn't know Italy played cricket. He's like, yeah, it's really big. But I didn't really say anything, you know, oh, I'm Italian, can I get in? And I bowled really, really well in that game. I bowled really, really tight. I got like, I think 3 or 4 wickets, and then I batted really well. And while this is going on, my mum is actually scoring, and there's another man on the pitch, and he's learning Italian because it's his best friend's wedding and he's the best man. So he wants to do his speech in Italian because this wedding is in Italy. And the Italian national player playing for the other team was helping him practice. So as he's practicing, he turns around to my mum and he goes, I'm really, really sorry if I'm disrupting you. I'm trying to learn Italian for my best friend's wedding. And my mum kind of turned around to him and she smiled and she went, well, as an Italian, it's really nice to hear other people speaking the language. And the Italian national man said to her in Italian, oh, you're Italian. She went, yes. And he said, is that your daughter? And she said, yes. And he said, well, I know the women are looking for more players at the moment. Would she want to play? And my mum was like, Isley have a women's team? And they said, yes, they do have a women's team. And from there, he gave us some contact numbers. Literally a couple months later, I went up to London to go meet with the coach and another couple players. We kind of had a trial, if you will, like it's a little net and stuff like that. And he said, we'd love for you to be here, but I just had to renew my passport because I hadn't used it in so long. It, of course, wasn't renewed. So I just renewed my passport, got that all done. And I got to play my first tournament in February. Yeah.
That was in Gibraltar.
It was
in
Gibraltar.
Under floodlights?
Yes, under floodlights. First time I've ever played on AstroTurf, which is a very strange experience. I don't think I was very well prepared for that. I really, obviously, you know, playing on luscious green grass wickets, or, you know, an actual outfield that is grass, going onto AstroTurf, where like the field is also AstroTurf and 3G. It was very, very strange. But yeah, it was a very successful tournament. We came second, beating the Netherlands one time, which had never been done before in history for us. So.
And you did quite well in that game, didn't you?
I did. Well, not in the Netherlands game, I didn't do as well as I probably could have. But in the first game of the tournament, so it's my first kind of debut, we had been told like literally a couple minutes before, okay, Gibraltar have had a team for 3 weeks. And in my head, I've played enough experience to be able to play a team that has been together for 3 weeks. I can do this. But I don't know why there was so many nerves in my chest, just because, of course, you know, my family was watching, my friends were watching. I was like, this is kind of like an international debut. Like, this is massive. And I got to bowl. I bowled like maybe the fifth over of our innings. We put up a total that was, it was a very good total for T10. And I took the first wicket. I was like, yes, got an international wicket. Great. Dot ball. Then took another wicket. I was like, okay, this is really good. Then took another wicket. I was like, okay, we're on for a hat-trick here. Took the third wicket clean bowled. I was like, right, you've just got an international hat-trick. Well done. Like, I think it's the first international hat-trick in T10 cricket, women's T10 cricket. Which, I mean, thinking about that's kind of extraordinary. It's kind of a legacy, isn't it?
I think you ended up with figures of 4-for-1, didn't
4
you?
4-for-1, yeah. I took 4 wickets in 7 balls.
Right.
So,
that's terrific.
It's okay. I came back very happy from the tournament. ECN were absolutely wonderful. European Cricket Network, again, like, I had such an enjoyable time and I got to commentate, I got to do interviews. I've never had to do media like that before, but it was really, really cool to kind of get to have that experience. And I think, again, as you can probably already tell, I talk quite a lot. So, you know, hearing my own voice, of course, I absolutely loved it. But it was an absolute blast and I wouldn't have asked for a better tournament to kind of start off with. It was really, really good. Yeah.
That's great. And you were telling me earlier that you had an experience with YouTube, with the commentating out there. Was it in that tournament?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Well, so Vinny Sandy, who is the very famous host of ECN, Mr. Maximo, he said to me, Regina, would you like the chance to commentate? I said, I'm not gonna say no, am I? So I got to commentate, and before I kind of started, he said, all right, we've got like about 1,500 people watching, 2,000 people watching on here, so don't it's not that much, don't be nervous. It's like, okay, I can do that. I mean it's a lot more people than I'm used to, but I can do it. And then he said, okay, but I will have to tell you, there's probably about 4 million people watching in India. And I kind of stood there for a minute and went, right, so I can't mess this up. And he was like, well, not really, but like, you'll be okay. Just talk when I ask you questions. I was like, okay, I can do that. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking, but I mean, it was so cool. And I'm going to have a couple more chances to do that with ECN later on in the future, which is very good.
Well, hopefully the Sussex Cricket Museum podcast will get at least half of those 4 million
listeners.
On
hopefully,
our podcast.
Yeah, we'll see. I can see if ECN will post out on their media as well. They have a massive media outlet, so.
Right. But, okay. Yeah. And just to clarify for people that don't know, you're a right-handed bat.
Yes. Yeah.
And a right-arm medium-fast bowler.
No, that's actually what Cricket Info says, but it's not true at all. I'm a right-arm off-spin.
Right.
Yeah, I think I have a quicker ball that people just, they see it and they're like, yeah, medium. But I'm actually an off spinner. I used to bowl pace, I used to bowl seam. But basically, if I'm very honest, I'm a massive cricket badger. And as anyone, I get very bored in the field. So being a seamer like not being kind of first choice was kind of frustrating for me, because I was always mostly in the team for batting, which is fine, but I knew I had potential in the bowling aspect of the game. So, you know, being told, especially in development cricket where everyone kind of has to do something, okay, you're batting in the top order, don't worry, you're not going to bowl today. It got a bit annoying and I was a bit like, okay, I actually want to bowl. So I turned around to my dad and I went, right, I want to learn how to bowl spin. He went, why? And I went, because there's no spinners in the team. And he went, right, okay, we can do that for you. So he worked, I mean, my dad's taught me everything I know, and we worked really, really hard on getting kind of the action going and kind of being able to turn the ball. I mean, I think now still only just am I turning a ball, but we worked really hard on that, and it worked out in my favour, and now I'm getting to bowl quite regularly, especially in the Sussex women as well, which is awesome. Yeah.
And your dad, you mentioned he was a coach for the USA.
Yes.
You started practicing before Sussex and the pathway, presumably in the back garden, like many kids do.
Always.
Against the wall or whatever.
I mean, even with USACA, I don't remember much of it, but what I do remember is just being involved with, like, you know, there was kids about 15, 16 who were, you know, he was teaching and coaching cricket and stuff like that, and they were so kind to me in terms of, like, they'd just throw me a ball to catch it, or like give me a bat to hold, or little things like that. I mean, in an old house that we used to live in, we had a corridor, and we used to play corridor cricket very, very often, and if you could bat in corridor cricket, we said you would be a proper batsman. But, you know, like little things like that. I think having my brother has always been a really useful resource, because he is a really good batsman. He's a top order batsman. And especially in the bowling aspect, especially when I was trying to kind of fix that, we've always had each other. So I'd bowl at him, and I bowl in men's and I bowl in boys. So and I've been very successful in that. He's told me only one time that he was like, oh, you're actually all right. So getting a compliment from my brother, you know, that's a big thing. So, you know, having each other and, like, having each other at kind of the skill level that we're at, it's good to improve everything. And having our dad as well kind of sitting there being like, right, you know, do this, do that, do that. And with his experience, etc., it's been really useful. I mean, my uncle as well, he's also played first-class cricket in Pakistan.
Right.
He's had a lot of experience as well. So he's also, like, kind of helped in some aspects. And watching him play, you know, you learn a lot from watching. So it's been very, very useful for kind of that development. I think just having a family that is so cricket orientated, and I mean, it was kind of destined to play cricket. Otherwise, if you weren't playing cricket, something went really, really wrong. But yeah.
That's great. Now, you mentioned you've played in local club cricket with mixed teams, boys.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, how do you find that? What's the secret there? I mean, do the boys look at you rather and say, oh, well,
yeah,
she's not going to do very well? Do they bowl fast at you? Or?
I mean, that's what we always, so my mum likes to call it kryptonite, because she just says, I mean, when I originally started playing, I think there was a lot more girls in softball cricket, because girls were more in tune to play softball cricket because it didn't hurt as much. And then as the hardball transition happened, you saw a lot of girls kind of fall off. And I think since I was young, I've always been like the only girl in the team, or like the only girl playing in cricket festival, like junior cricket festival week, and like little things like that. We never really came across another girl. I think for me that did wonders for my confidence, because I thought if I'm bowling to boys that are my age and like county players or etc., it proved to me that I was actually all right and I was good. I don't think anyone ever held back. Especially like once we got to know them and they realized that I was just as good as the rest of my team, they were like, okay, right, well, she obviously knows what she's doing, so we're not going to treat her like she's just another girl. I think I had a couple of experiences in terms of like playing men's cricket where, you know, I've scored 30 odd and then I've gotten myself out really stupidly and someone's come to shake my hand just to say well batted, and you kind of turn around to look at them like, if I was a man and I got 30 right now, you would not be coming up to me and saying well batted. Like, I know I'm a good enough player. I mean, being in like playing Division 7 cricket for Ruffy, I mean, it doesn't require me to have to, you know, really, really bump up my game. So having little aspects like that, I think, has been hard in terms of trying to keep my ego intact, because I don't know, it really lowers your self-confidence sometimes. But for boys cricket, I've always played with the boys, and the boys that I've played with have been absolutely lovely to me. Like, my team have always trusted me, especially at Roffey. Actually, another Sussex player here, Sam Henderson, he's been my captain since I was under 11. And he has always told me, you know, you're my first choice spinner. I'm telling you now, you're my first choice spinner. And I mean, having that trust from your captain, playing in festival week or like playing, you know, under 16, under 18, it gave me a lot of confidence.
Yes.
And I think playing with them really, really boosted my confidence because they always treated me as a player. I was never treated as like the girl. And then playing other teams, I mean, I'd still get sledged. Oh, the sledging was awful. I remember there was the first year I played West, a team in Sussex. I scored quite a few runs and they were like, oh, you're getting hit by a girl. The last time I played them, I took a fifer and they were all sat there like, right, well, we kind of knew this was going to happen. And I was like the developer, you played with them for so long, I played against them for so long, you kind of all know each other. So, I've loved men's cricket and boys' cricket in terms of the competition and always feeling kind of safe in those environments because I've been very, very fortunate to have people around me who have been safe and defending me at all times if there is anything that happens on the opposition. But, I mean, playing women's cricket as well, with that, it sometimes conflicts a little bit because I mean there is a higher standard, especially if I'm going to go play under 18 boys. The bowling is 10 times faster and it is, you know, the ball's being hit at you harder, and you're not really going to face that in women's cricket, whatever standard you play. But still having, you know, okay, you've gone out there, you've faced a kid who's bowling 70 miles an hour, you'll be fine when you come to the women's game. So I think it's helped in that development to kind of get rid of fear and eliminate that sort of fear. But
And you mentioned Georgia Adams, who obviously has got a famous Sussex father and a heritage of being down at the county ground here since she was a toddler. So she's really helped you, has she, in the way?
So funny enough, I actually was at the same school as George Adams' sister, Molly Adams, and Molly Adams is actually my brother's year. So I've known Georgia for a very long time in terms of knowing Georgia and her sisters and her father, because obviously, you know, her parents having to be at all the same things that my parents had to go to for my brother and Molly. And Georgia being involved with the girls still has, I think, is massive, especially with all the things she's achieved and all the things she's done, and she still comes back and she still coaches and she still comes back to like talk to the girls and, you know, be like, you know, this can be you one day. I think the fact that she takes her time out to do that is so imperative to girls cricket because it shows you really what a role model should be like, and she's Sussex women's captain for a reason, and I think it's brilliant that she does things like this. Kiara Green is very, very, very much the same. She is the Sussex women's captain when Georgia's not here, and again, she coaches the pathway every single age group, and them coming back, having those Sussex women come back and, you know, coach the children. First of all, I mean, it helps out in terms of scouting, you know, who could potentially be our next Sussex women in the squad. But I think for like the just boost of confidence for the girls being like, okay, she has potential, she sees the potential in me, it's been huge. And as I said, like receiving a text message from Georgia Adams herself, you very much sit there like, wow, you know, she has my number, she knows who I am, she's taking the effort to message me. It's huge. I wouldn't change it for the world.
We'll have to get you to do a podcast with Georgia, hopefully, in the future. Yeah, so 100%. And she can talk about her role, in particular with Bacca as well.
Yeah, she's very much
and developing developing girls in Sussex to play cricket.
Yeah, she's very much involved with Bacca, and she's stayed involved with Bacca even through her career, so it's been very good to see.
Have you made your Sussex ladies' debut, women's debut yet?
I made it last year.
So, okay, and you mentioned earlier that you're going to be playing at Oxford or against Oxford.
Next week we're playing, we have a Sussex versus Oxfordshire game in Oxfordshire, and funny enough, it's also the week that Italy women are here, and I have a teammate that plays for Oxfordshire County, and she's going to be playing against me whilst the Italy team is actually watching. So it's funny how things work sometimes.
So the Italian team will be split between supporting Sussex or Oxford.
Yeah, we said that they're gonna have to take a pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there was a Wisden article recently where they described you as phenomenal.
Oh, no. Yeah. The woman who wrote the article, Krithika, she's an absolutely awesome woman. She follows so much of the Southern the Southern Cricket, basically. And she messaged me randomly and she was just like, you know, Issy Cricket's really growing, so we have the potential to do a article on you. And I was like, oh, that's very, very cool. So yeah, I was very, very grateful for the opportunity to get to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. Thanks very much for talking to us, Regina.
No worries.
And I'm sure we're going to hear more from you as your cricket career develops in the future. And I know you've offered to help us with some of our podcasts on women's cricket. So we look forward to hearing from some of those later in the year. But thanks very much for the moment for talking to us today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I absolutely loved it.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please search for Sussex Cricket Museum on your usual podcast provider and like us so that you will immediately know when a new podcast drops into the channel. Many thanks. Bye for now.